Hello, everyone, and welcome to Quinn Cummings Gives Bad Advice, the podcast where I, Quinn Cummings, give advice to people I do not know. If you're joining us for the first time, you may be asking yourself, does Quinn really want to give me bad advice? And the answer is no, I do not want to give you bad advice. I want to give you good advice. But I have absolutely no qualification to give you any sort of advice at all. I am not a carpenter. I am not a car mechanic. I am not a cartoon. I give advice because it amuses me to do so. So you might be asking yourself, will this advice I'm about to give you be good advice? Well, I think the answer is in the title of the podcast. If you want me to give you bad advice, you can leave a question for me at qcbad.com. It's completely anonymous, and better yet, it's completely free. So I can offer up this advice with a 100% money-back guarantee. Now, let's get started. My first question today comes from qcbad.com with the subject heading, Ace in La La Land.
Dear Quinn, I'm a man in my mid-30s and I'm very close with my parents. I also came to realize a couple of years ago that I am asexual. My question is, how do I tell my parents? I don't think there will be any fallout or casualties in the process. No one is going to cut off ties or that type of thing. But every time I've tried, I've panicked about how to do it. How to bring it up? When is the right time? Should I even do it at all? Shouldn't I have known a half a lifetime ago? Aren't I too old for this conversation? Can I even call it a coming out, since if I were to have a romantic relationship, it would be with a woman? Should I get an ice cream cake and party hats? I'm at a total loss. Please help.
When my daughter went to France for her senior year of high school, I was heartsick at the thought of how much of her life we would no longer know about. To me, it felt like the beginning of the inevitable growing away, which is both completely healthy and sucks. I kept imagining her as an adult saying to a friend, "I have to go see my folks, but I'll be home on Thursday." We wouldn't be home anymore, that we would become mysteries to each other. Well, I was wrong to worry about that. There were whole other things to worry about. But it's the first thing which came to my mind after reading your question. Being asexual is a huge thing to know about yourself. And you should be really proud of yourself for A, figuring it out at any age, and B, living it. Your parents love you. They want to know you. They deserve to know you. Now, how to tell them? I personally would live for an ice cream cake, but I feel like most people would go with wine, if that's the thing in your family. Again, as a parent, were I to hear this, my first question would be, but won't you be lonely? Parents want their children of any age to be happy, to have the things they want. We assume relationships are necessary, even when we know people in relationships who are unhappy. It's not rational, it's just parental. You and I both know that asexual doesn't necessarily mean aromantic. You might love someone who loves you back, or you may not need that. Be prepared to explain what you see your life being like, what you're hoping for, what you have. If you tell them, "I am asexual, I have friends who love and accept me, and I'm really happy," they might be puzzled, but if you're telling the truth, they'll be happy for you. Our adult children puzzle us all the time. We just need to see a solid pilot light in our children's eyes, a sense that they are living the life that they want. The rest is negotiable. This next one comes from qcbad.com, subject heading, "No small part, just small actors."
Dear Quinn, I auditioned for a local production, first time auditioning for this company. Was told by the director and several other people auditioning that I killed. I didn't get the part, even though, and yes, this is ego speaking, I would have been better than the person cast. The director texts me today that one of the guys she cast doesn't want to do the show because his wife didn't get cast, and would I want his role? From auditioning for a lead to one scene at the end of the play, literally the last scene, I don't know if she is stringing me along because she wants me to do other shows, or she feels sorry she didn't cast me and wants me there in case the other actor doesn't work out in the lead. I want to do the show. I just want the role I can't have.
This director didn't know you, so even though you were the strongest audition, they probably hired someone they had worked with before. Hello. Welcome to the entertainment industry. Now she wants you to save her butt because, I quote, another guy can't do the show because his wife didn't get cast, unquote, which, I'm going to add, is maybe the most local theater production sentence ever written. She knows you're good. She doesn't feel sorry for you. She doesn't have the energy to feel sorry for you. She's directing a play in a local theater and hasn't thought of anyone or anything but that play in weeks. She knows you'll be solid, and she can go back to worrying about every other person, including the person she hired for what should have been your part. When you handle this with grace and modesty, she'll think of you gratefully the next time she casts. If you can't handle this with grace and modesty, if you'll keep trying to trip the guy who got you part or add strychnine to his pancake makeup, don't do it. Yes, you gave a great audition. You'll give another one. And then someday, you'll give an indifferent audition, and you'll get that part anyway. This is part of the reason actors are, for the most part, a little crazy. And sometimes the audition is more than just about the part.
Dear Quinn, I have been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I think that I might be depressed, but nobody that I tell or try to talk to takes me seriously. I can't tell my mom because I think it will make her really sad. What should I do?
Yes, your mother will be sad. It's heartbreaking and terrifying to consider that your child, a person you love better than pretty much anyone on earth, is battling an illness. Now add in that it's a mental illness, which maybe not everyone has made their peace with, and you're right, it's not going to be a wonderful conversation. You must have it anyway, because you must get help. And it sounds to me as if you are still of an age where your mother is the gatekeeper to your health. Tell her what you told me. Tell her today. Stop this podcast and tell her right now. If the thought of this is overwhelming, find a friend, tell them, and then have them tell her. If it's the thought of looking in her eyes that terrifies you, write it as an email and send it to her. I am not kidding about this. You must do this right now. If for some reason she doesn't seem to take it seriously, and sometimes, yes, people ask for help and the adults in their lives can't hear it for some reason, then you have to tell another adult, a teacher, a guidance counselor, a member of the clergy, a family member. I'm sorry you've had to keep telling people you're drowning, but you must keep doing it until someone helps you. Now, once you've done that, write back and let me know how you are. This one comes from qcbad.com. Subject, should I stay or should I go? Or is there a third option?
Dear Quinn, I am an active, believing member of a very conservative church. I believe in the majority of what the church teaches as gospel and have raised my children in this church. My husband left a long time ago and I stayed. Over the years, the church has gotten more and more conservative, while I have gotten more and more liberal, politically and socially. The differences in myself and the majority of the other members in the church have gotten more and more pronounced over the last few years. So here's my question and issue. This church is a part of who I am. I can't imagine not being a member, but I also can't stand being a member and being associated with the rhetoric the people in the church spew. I wish there was another option that taught the same gospel while being more progressive, but there isn't. How do I reconcile those two important parts of myself? I'm beginning to think there really isn't a way to do that, but then I don't know who I am. Please advise.
Here's what this sounds like to me. It's like if you had married your grade school sweetheart, and you two knew each other so deeply for so long that you can't imagine your life without him. Only now you hated all of his friends, and he made fun of all the things you loved doing. Being together is unpleasant, but being apart is literally unimaginable. At this point, I will do something for the first time in my life. I am going to quote the Bible, specifically 1 Corinthians 13. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Your relationship with this church is no longer based in love. It's based in fear. You're afraid to leave, and you're afraid to stay. And you're justifiably afraid your brothers and sisters in the church won't accept what you believe. Fear is no reason to get up early on a Sunday morning. To my eternal confusion, I teach Sunday school, and my co-teacher and I often remind the kids that the church belongs to them as it does to everyone who attends. When they go out into the world, if they want a place for quiet reflection, a church to call home, and they find a church which is good, but doesn't tick all the boxes of being a progressive force for good that they have come to expect from our church, it's their responsibility to help create that community. So, with that in mind, I have two suggestions for you. One, decide not to decide for 6 months while you gather information. I assume you have church shopped. I want you to church shop again, this time with an eye towards a church which maybe isn't absolutely in lock with your gospel, but whose services make you feel whole. Then once you find that, I want you to make an appointment with their minister and explain your dilemma. Even if he or she can't fix all of your doubts, even if he or she can't bring their gospel into alignment with what you're used to hearing, he or she might be able to help you feel seen and accepted where you are right now. And as far as relationships go, that's not a bad place to start.
Dear Quinn, I have trouble communicating with my husband of 20 years. I have also realized we don't have much in common, and I don't like him very much or enjoy spending time with him. I am trying to find joy with friends, my kids, and work instead. He's not abusive, and we don't fight much in front of the kids, but there is not much love there. He will not go to therapy, but I am going to a therapist. My kids will both go to college in 3 years. Do I wait to divorce him? How bad does a marriage need to be to justify a divorce?
Only you know the answer to that. Some people won't leave someone who's physically hurting them. Another person leaves because their partner gained 10 pounds. Marriage is very much a choose-your-own-adventure kind of thing. First of all, I'm just going to say, you never have to justify a divorce. If you know that this isn't working anymore, that is enough. But I'm going to get a little dark here. You just told me you're living a Potemkin life, a facade of a marriage, with an eye towards maybe getting out in 3 years. I had a friend who had abdominal pain in the winter and was dead of cancer by August. We are not promised anything. What if these next 3 years, where you live a sort of a hollow waiting way, are the last 3 years of your life? I know I promised you it was going to be dark. But we always assume we have enough time to fix things and to correct things, to get back the happiness, but we don't actually know. Second, if I'm reading this correctly, you will have two children in college at the same time all 4 years. That's going to cost a lot of money. Divorces cost a lot of money. The amount of scholarships American universities provide are often need-based, which is hinged on income. If you and your husband are trying to pay for lawyers while also paying for school, that may be agonizing. If you really think divorce is inevitable, I would strongly suggest you talk to a financial planner about the next few years. Find out if there is a way that you both can be on your own and be happy and move on.
Dear Quinn, you know how people joke about those DNA tests revealing family secrets and you always think, not my family? Well, it was my family. To be specific, I found out that my aunt's father is not who he should be. All of the parents involved are almost certainly dead and can't explain themselves, and my aunt is in her 80s. I made the decision not to tell her, but sometimes I worry that it was the wrong choice. What if she figures it out herself or finds out with no warning? What if I'm depriving her of something she needs to know? I feel like she wouldn't want to know, but what if I'm wrong? Am I doing the right thing?
Consort works with startup companies, helping them craft their pitches for funding. He always makes these would-be Paul Allens answer two questions. One, to whom are you speaking? Two, what do you want them to do? If you're trying to get someone to give you an estimate to get your car detailed, you are probably going to speak to them differently than if you're trying to seduce them. Or maybe not. I don't know your life. The point being, what would she do with this information besides be hurt and confused? This was her father, in that he loved her, he cared for her, he taught her to ride a bike, or he was a complete disappointment to her as a father, or more likely somewhere in between. But biology doesn't make you a parent any more than my having 2 feet makes me a prima ballerina. It's what you do that makes you a parent. She had a father. She may not have enough time left in her life to fully absorb the implications of what this meant about her family, about her mother. As far as, quote-unquote, need to know, I would say the only reason you need to know something like that is for health reasons. If there's a health issue within the biological father's family, but let's be honest, she's in her 80s. His genes can't have been that bad. If she has children, I think they should know at some point in the future, again for health reasons, and because it's a generation away from them. It's likely they won't have the same level of shock. But this is her father. I say it's not worth telling her. The only way it is worth telling her is if lots of people in the family know. Then you have to tell her because we all understand someone is going to blurt it and then she is going to be mortified to discover everyone has been keeping this a secret. If you don't tell her, you made the decision based in kindness. If you do decide to tell her, you made the decision based in honesty. Both are perfectly honorable reasons to make a decision. Whatever you decide, you're doing the right thing. Okay, I think that's enough bad advice for today. And remember, I can't give you bad advice if you don't ask for it. Your question doesn't have to be profound, complex, or emotionally demanding. It can be about pretty much anything because, let's face it, I am unqualified to offer advice across a wide range of subject matter. And as we all know, sometimes the nuttiest question gets the best bad advice. You can reach me on Twitter, @QuinnC. That's QUINNCY @twitter.com. Or you can post a question to QCBAD.com. Just log into letter Q, letter C, BAD.com, and there's a question form right there. The question can be any length, but I'm finding they work better if they're shorter. Just a hint. Before I go, I'd like to thank Richard Emmett, who composed my groovy music, and Keith Greenstein, who designed my groovy logo. People have already started asking me how they can get a Bad Advice Fork in a Toaster t-shirt or coffee mug, and my answer to them is, hang in there, we are working on it. I also want to thank Phil Rohr and Prime Rib Productions for making it possible for you to hear any of this. Okay, that's enough for now. Keep those questions coming, and I'll see you all next time.